Last chance.
Okay.
All right.
Well, well, Feliz Navidad, all you Mr. and Mrs. Clauses out there. This is our finale episode for season one and our Christmas special.
Absolutely.
We hope that you'll be able to unwrap some pleasantness for your ears tonight as we talk about comics and nerdy things, and also a little bit of Christmas history for you.
Yeah. Just a smidge.
Yeah, just a tiny, just like measure. A little tiny bit of Christmas history, and then a little bit of fun
for good measure.
Yeah, we don't have any guests with us tonight. Just me and Alec and
caveman
and our producer Justin Smith.
Oh, Richard. So you're able to keep up?
Yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah. Just hanging out. Listen, I kind of threw that one at you real quick.
I'm good. Right. Got it.
Yeah, it's just three of us tonight. We tried to get some guests on here, but wasn't really working out with people's schedules. That's all right. Tiffany may join us later. We'll see.
Yeah. I kind of like that it's just a family show.
Yeah, we're gonna
ending the season on kind of like how we began.
Yeah, I miss Chris tonight though, but he had a work Christmas party, and I understand that. That's
stuff for band, so
yeah.
And he's pointing at the microphone.
Yeah. So tonight, just for all of you, I'm going to point at the microphone and tell you guys that's where we got to go. He does it because he cares.
Right, yeah.
You're all being
he wants us to be good for us.
You have to admit, all of his pointing has made the sound quality.
Oh, like, absolutely. Like, if you look at the episodes before Chris joined, where it was just like you and me, and we were just like chit-chatting away, they weren't as good. And then as soon as Chris and Justin joined, we got the sound clips.
Yeah.
And Chris started making sure that we're like looking at the microphone, pointing towards it, so it's directional, so that makes sense, I guess.
And he even started kind of the segmented stuff. Like,
oh, so we got the time, yeah. And which has been pretty good, except for last week when we went over by, like, half an hour. But it's cool, because then we got the cool two-parter, and that was a lot of fun for me, anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah. Can I channel Chris Bannon just
real quick? Can you bring in the burger sack?
Captain America, blue brother, brother.
No. He never talks about
that. No, I know.
He actually gets really mad at me when I use the podcast as like a place to talk about our band.
I'm just saying that because I love him. But he
that was the worst channeling.
I know,
ever.
It was bad. That's bad.
This might as well just be the Chris Bannon podcast because I was talking about Chris.
Phantom Burger Sack.
But he's so good at like keeping our two projects, because I do this with him, and then I also do the band with him, and he's really good at keeping those two projects separate, like,
yeah,
really good at it. Like, when we're talking about podcasts, we're talking about podcasts, and we're talking about band stuff, we're talking about band stuff, and, like, there's not a whole lot of crossover, and I like that.
That's why, like, I've never said you guys should hand out those little things at the further register, because I don't want to, you know.
Nice.
Anyway.
We are, for our music video we're shooting, there's a little segment where there's all these different magazines, and of course we can't use actual magazines.
Sure.
And we're trying to see if someone can make us a little nerd management magazine to kind of like throw in the background.
I want to be an extra. I really do.
Well, it's later this month. You can definitely do it.
I know.
But enough about my band and Chris Banna and our love for him.
Yeah.
Let's talk about enjoy your Christmas party, Chris Banna. But next season, when we all start back up, he'll be back with us.
Absolutely.
And we'll have a good time.
Absolutely.
But right now, we're gonna talk about some comic books, I think, and then
jump right
into Christmas.
So. Read a book. I usually start. Why don't you start?
Oh, you want me to start?
Yeah.
Well, every week gets harder and harder, man. I just
honestly, this week was super rough.
Every week is difficult. This week we had Nightwing was great. There was they brought in some interesting stuff with the Mad Hatter that I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Batman villains, and I love it when they kind of start to make the Batman villains Nightwing villains as well.
Because
he doesn't really have a good rogues gallery of his own, but when you think about it, his history with Batman would lend him to having Batman's villains be his
right.
villains. Speaking of which, that came out this week as well.
Batman came out this week, yeah. I loved Batgirl. Batgirl was incredible this week, too.
Right. That's
it's so good, and every week, it's so close to being my book of the week every week, but it's just, or every month that it's out, but it's just, It's so good, but I just don't think anyone else would be able to talk about it, so I don't really...
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But it's not my book of the week, but...
And also Spider-Man came out, and it was really good.
I haven't been reading Cataclysm, but I probably should.
You should.
But anyway, we're going to push rules aside for a second.
Sure.
I'm actually going to talk about Batgirl, because it was really good. It wasn't my book of the week, but it was a close second.
On those honorable mentions.
Yeah, it was definitely an honorable mention. So basically what's been happening in Batgirl is... She thought that she killed her brother, Jim Gordon Jr., who's like this really creepy villain, and Scott Snyder kind of turned him into that villain with his Black Mirror story.
Which is
Yeah. Well, Gail Simone kind of ran with that, and the first arc of Batgirl had a lot to do with him, and then the Joker stuff had a lot to do with him, and he's just like been a consistent villain throughout. And so basically, she had a choice between him killing their mother or her killing him. And she made a call, she threw a batarang, and it hit him in the eye, and he fell off this bridge, and everyone thought he was dead. So Jim Gordon has been chasing down Batgirl for a long time because she's been, like, wanted by the police for killing his son. And so this past story arc has been, like, her feeling like she doesn't really deserve to be Batgirl because she killed somebody. So she's, like, running around in a hoodie and like a ski mask and stuff, and it's
been
Casey Jones. The whole story arc has been really good, and like, what if Barbara Gordon was just a vigilante and not actually part of the Bat family?
Yeah.
And it's been just excellent all along. But then this last couple of issues has been her whole like rogues gallery that Gail Simone has been building since issue one all kind of teamed up and was trying to like just really wreck Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah. Hmm.
And so she shows up in her new Batgirl costume and beats them all up and saves his life. And then he tries to arrest her. And she's like, I just saved your life. And I didn't kill your son because I wanted to. I had a choice to make. She's like, and now I have a choice to make. I'm going to tell you who I am so you can trust me. And as she's like pulling her cowl off, he turns around.
Spoilers!
He turns around and he's like, I don't even want to know who you are. Just get out of here and don't ever come back.
But honestly, like, how... And I love the character of Jim Gordon. I really do. His detective skills are not so high.
But this is one of the things I really loved about the issue is he says, in the issue, he says, do you think if I wanted to know who you were, I couldn't know who you were?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm one of the best detectives in this city. I could know who every one of you are, but I choose not to.
I mean, his daughter has red hair, like, bright red hair.
So that was, like, his whole thing, and I really liked that. Like, that whole, because the whole dialogue kind of, it almost implied that he knows, and he doesn't want Barbara around now. And it's, like, really heart-wrenching and sad. And then the reveal at the end is that Jim Gordon Jr. is actually alive, and he has an eye patch now. And he was responsible for getting all her rogues teamed up against her dad. Yeah. So... it was like, I was on edge the whole time.
Drama Island.
Really great book.
But that's something that I definitely want to read. I just don't want to... It's 26
so
issues in.
It's so good, though. It's so good. Solid all the way through. Gail Simone, we've done a little segment on her before.
Yeah.
One of my favorite writers at DC. And when we talk about a certain character later on, that I'm not going to spoil yet, but I think she might be writing that book, or there's rumors, and that's going to be exciting. But we'll get there. But my actual book of the week this week, and tied with Batwoman, I guess, pretty real close. Batgirl. Sorry, that's very close. Was Superman Wonder Woman by Charles Soule and Tony S. Daniels. The art
is
awesome, like
amazing.
Usual. Just he draws one of the best Batman and the best Superman.
You know what's funny?
Just ever see?
I always I love Jim Lee's art. But it seemed like Tony Daniels and Jim Lee are like such, like they're kind of like equal. But everybody likes Tony Daniels, and for some reason, everybody hates Jim Lee. And I don't understand what it is.
Tony Daniels is faster than Jim Lee for sure.
That's probably true.
But
I mean, I love both. Don't get me wrong.
But basically, I mean, this is incredible because this is the third issue of this book, and every single month that it's come out, it's been my book of the week every single time. It's because every single time it's just solid gold. And it shouldn't even be called Superman Wonder Woman so much as it should just be called The Relationships of Superman.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. And what made this issue so great was the action never lacks in this book, ever.
Yeah.
There was a really good fight between Zod and the Justice League America characters like Martian Manhunter and Vibe and Hawkman show up and fight Zod and just get their butts handed to them.
Hmm.
But what's really awesome about the issue is the conversation in it between Batman and Superman is incredible. Like, one of the best Batman and Superman conversations that has ever been in a comic, in my opinion. And the best part about it is, like, Superman, the issue before, Superman got zapped with, Apollo zapped him with sunlight, and he's like, you shouldn't have done that, dude, that's where I get my powers. And Superman was super strong and just punched the crap out of Apollo. And then he flies to the moon because he's like, I don't want to hurt anybody. And so he's talking via satellite, I guess, to Batman from the moon. And Batman's
from
like...
Slight delay.
I want to read you the exact lines because it's really good. But Batman's giving him this pep talk. And that's what I love about the Batman and Superman relationship is that the two characters kind of, like, keep each other in check. But they're also buddies about it. But they kind of... You know how we're kind of like... We're kind of mean to each other in a playful way. That's how Batman and Superman are to each other, and I just really like that dynamic. But, so Batman's like, just keep talking to me and calm down. And, he's talking about how he's, like, afraid he could punch the moon. He's so strong. And, Batman's like, all right, we'll figure this out. Just keep talking to me. You don't really know that much about your powers, do you? And he goes, how am I supposed to find out? It's not like Kryptonians have been on Earth forever. There's no precedent. I barely know anything about my own people. And he says, that doesn't worry you, because it worries me. This is Batman.
Yeah.
And Superman says, everything worries you, Bruce. And it's just like, that's so funny, because it does. Like, he's like this paranoid character.
By the way.
And then Batman says, you know, Clark, there's one... reason I felt relatively comfortable working with you, despite the fact that you could probably punch the moon into dust. And Superman says, the fact that I would never punch the moon into dust? It's like, I love that. Like, their dynamic is so awesome.
That's great.
And he just, like, goes on to make Superman feel better, and then Superman's like, okay, well, now I'm gonna go take care of whatever this problem is.
That's probably the best of friends.
Yeah. They're the super friends. They're the super friends. But that's what made that book for me. It wasn't the action and the awesome fighting, which was great in that, but it was just this conversation between Batman and Superman where they're just kind of like playfully digging at each other, but then there's a heartfelt moment at the end where he's like, but I know that you'd never do any of these things, and if you could, you would kill me, is basically what Batman says. But he said, I never have to worry about that because I know that you wouldn't.
Yeah. By the way, we've been joined by... Queen Swopes herself, Tiffany Swopes.
Candy, arm candy.
So,
Merry Christmas.
So, what was your book of the week?
My book of the week is Justice League 26.
Which was close.
It was
right up there for mine, too.
Absolutely fantastic book. I won't read you the scripture from it, but...
sorry, I just wanted to get that, like...
No, it was
so
worth it.
It
was worth it.
I wanted to get
it
out
right.
It.
No, absolutely.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
See?
Yeah.
I'm being your back. But anyway, so I enjoyed the issue overall. I thought it was really good the first time that I read it. And then you actually blew my mind a little bit, and you schooled me a little bit on something that happens in it. And just made the book that much better.
This would be a good point to give a spoiler warning because we're going to spoil.
Spoilers!
Yeah. I don't know what his name is, but they call him Eel. And
okay, yeah. This is where it was a little confusing for me. These gangsters are all hanging around waiting for Owlman to be done talking to all the crime bosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys' name is Eel, and he keeps playing with these rubber bands, and the other guy's like, Eel, stop snapping those rubber bands, it's really getting annoying. And I was just like, who is Eel? I know that name from something. And I couldn't piece it together
until... Eel as in, like, under the sea, Eel?
Yeah,
E-E-L.
Under the sea.
His first name is Eel. And, what happens? Go ahead and tell everybody.
So, Owlman comes in... and kind of muffs everybody up. And in the process, he hits this can of random chemicals, and it turns him into a puddle, but you informed me that he actually turns into Plastic Man.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Because I then realized as this guy's melting into, like, wet plastic but not dead, I was like, what? Well, hang on, what's going on? Okay, I was like, oh, Eel O'Brien, that's Plastic Man.
Yeah.
And I guess I just hadn't realized that Plastic Man hadn't been introduced in the New 52.
Yeah.
So that was exciting for me. And
yeah.
I was like, this is awesome. And that leads us to, there's this huge rumor on the internet, and has been since the beginning of the New 52, that...
Put your name on it!
That Gail Simone would be writing a Plastic Man book drawn by Ethan Van Sciver, which
yeah.
sounds like the
it's
best...
Awesome.
It'd just be an awesome book. So if that actually happens now... I'm very excited. But the other thing is, it could be Jeff Johns writing a Plastic Man book. Because if you recall, he did say that after Forever Evil, something that happens in Forever Evil gives him a new solo title.
Yeah.
So
that may be, yeah.
But I'm holding out that probably what will happen is that whoever the prisoner is...
Is
under the hood is the character that he'll be
under
in.
The hood.
Well, and
not to discredit, because when you told me that, that's what really I filled my pants. Like I completely lost it. And not but it was also just a really cool issue of Owlman's.
Sorry, that takes that clip to a whole different
that's
level
okay.
now.
That's all right. Of Owlman's origin, which is, it's really brutal and it's kind of, it's really dark, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome. And I was telling you about the variant that I got, that it just kind of even adds more to that level, and I really enjoyed how different of a character Owlman is compared to, you know.
Yeah,
Owlman
but then
is.
He's like, I want to talk privately with Dick Grayson,
yeah.
and then he basically says, I don't like what Ultraman's doing. And if you join me, we'll save the world together. And I was like, "That's so is Owlman good?
I don't know.
Or is Owlman just like, I don't like Ultraman. I want to rule the world myself,
yeah.
and I want Dick Grayson by my side. Either way, Dick Grayson's just like,
sure,
okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Can you
cool.
ever really trust James Woods, though? Isn't that who voiced him in the cartoon?
Owlman?
Yeah.
It
okay.
was James Woods.
All right.
Nice
but
goal,
I think...
Yes!
I think that Dick Grayson's got something up his sleeve because
oh, totally.
He answered so quickly and didn't
you can't
really hesitate.
You can't be a sidekick of Batman and not have a total contingency
a
plan.
Yeah.
yeah, exactly. Like, there's no way.
And so I'm excited to see what he does to get himself out of this whole mess.
Yeah.
And
Dick Grayson is just
like,
amazing.
I'm eager to see him use this brilliant Owlman.
Yeah.
Like, how awesome would it be for Dick Grayson to use Owlman? That's awesome. When
That'd
Owlman's
really cool.
wanting to use Dick
That'd
Grayson,
really cool.
and then just he turns it up on its head.
Well, and it even furthers, I wonder if, because at the very end, the last panel is Superwoman listening in on the conversation, and then she smirks. So I don't know if she's on either
yeah.
side.
I almost feel like they're going to have their own little Trinity War between Ultraman and Superwoman
and
Owlman, and that's
yeah.
going to be their undoing.
Hmm.
But I thought the book was really great.
It was awesome.
And was part of the reason it was so hard for me to decide Book of the Week, because that one
yeah.
was up there, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'd enjoy reading? Like, okay, you have Batman Incorporated, right? Which mm-hmm. means they've got to have a janitorial staff somewhere. All right? Just follow me on this.
Okay.
Okay, you know how Batman always has his backup plans, his plan Bs, and, like, how he's going to enter a building? I want to see just, like, a whole side story of, like, the janitorial staff. Like, oh, I've got to clean up another zip line going from Gotham.
It's almost like that Gotham Central
where Gotham
comic.
Central, yeah, Gotham Central was like what the Gotham City Police Department is like.
Yeah.
But you're talking like the city workers of Gotham.
Right,
like cleaning up, like
why are these
like
batarangs?
They just leave grappling hooks and batarangs
yeah,
and
like that.
Everywhere.
Like, like an awesome arsenal.
Exactly.
I feel like that if Matt Fraction ever went over to DC, that's the book he would write.
I just think it'd be hilarious. You know, kind of like they have, what is it, the Mocking Dead of book
yeah,
like,
it just,
like
yeah.
that would be a kind of a funny side to the Batman. Moving on.
Now, I have an honorable mention, even though it was a little bit of a slower issue. The art alone makes me say Batman 26 as well, and because I'm a huge Batman fan. The art and the color in this book just is ridiculously good. So
yeah.
I have to say it, so.
It was pretty solid.
I like the fact
too.
That three out of the four of us absolutely adore Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you not like Batman?
Batman's my favorite person, man. I like Batman more than I like Warner.
Are we talking about the dog? Like, I don't...
I think she's talking about me, because I'm not...
Oh, it's your favorite...
The Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing's my favorite non-superhero.
Why don't you
character.
Like Batman? I want to know this for real, though.
Batman and Superman both are just kind of like...
too mainstream.
Yeah, too main...
Hipster!
Not too mainstream, but too unstoppable. They're just like the...
But,
like, there's no threat level for them.
I
agree
see
what you mean.
I know, I think,
I thought that about Superman for a long time.
Yeah, I think Superman's extremely hard to be relatable to. But, I mean, I disagree with Batman.
Number one, not
cool.
From Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two, not from Krypton. I got nothing.
I
don't have a calic.
And he can be shot with a bullet. I mean, that's...
That's why I've always just really
well,
liked...
Well, so can you once.
That's, that's what I've always really liked about The Flash, is that
what about Swamp Thing, though? He's kind of... I guess if somebody comes in with a mean forest fire, then he's done, but...
Swamp Thing has weaknesses. Swamp Thing has his weaknesses.
I'm just
the seer defeated
now.
Him.
I'm just being
But, I think what I like about The Flash is that he's just a guy that happens to have powers.
Yeah.
And, like, and we'll talk about this more when we talk about
again,
Moment of Glory.
Yeah,
but minute. when you even read the interviews with Grant Gustin, who's playing Barry Allen, he said the things he's looking forward to the most with playing that character is that he's awkward and kind of a little hesitant about his powers. He's super pumped because he's a big fanboy and loves superheroes, but at the same
what
time...
What superhero does he love? Is his favorite?
Green Arrow. Barry Allen, clearly, in the show continuity, is like...
I'm talking about Grant Gustin.
Green Arrow.
Who's Grant Gustin's favorite?
Oh, we're not going to talk about that. Anyway, it's The Flash, but I don't want to do that anymore. That's actually... Yeah. He said that he's really excited about playing Barry Allen as, like, this... skeptical, kind of scared of his own powers kind of character, and I think
yeah.
that's really cool, and that's what I've always liked about The Flash.
I really do love how the show's taking it.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about The Flash as a character, is he's kind of unsure of himself, whereas
yeah.
Batman and Superman can't really be, because they...
Yeah.
And that's why I liked the Man of Steel movie so well, is because that was an unsure Superman.
Yeah. He was still pretty...
tough, but he still was uncomfortable with what he was doing.
Yeah, no,
there is a news break. Next season, we're going to have Christian Bale reading poetry in
yep.
his Batman voice.
Yep.
What?
Def
oh,
Jam.
Yeah.
Roses are red.
Def Jam poetry.
Violets are blue.
Is that something we're doing?
No.
Where'd you hide it in there?
You would know it before he would.
That's why it's breaking news.
Yeah.
Is it
yeah.
Moment of Glory now?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
Moment of Glory!
So, what's the moment of glory, Alec? Tell us.
For the third week in a row. Which, no, that's okay. It's, we'll just say the whole episode of Arrow this week.
It was amazing!
Because it was, not just the last, like, 2.5 minutes.
Arrow was full of moments of
yeah,
glory.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
it was all really awesome.
Yeah.
I think the, if I, like, let's just list them off. There was the Solomon Grundy poem in Cyber
yeah.
School's apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, which my girlfriend is a huge Injustice fan, and so when that happened, she was like, "Oh, wait, is Solomon Grundy in this?"
Like she,
yes,
she
is.
She put down the crochet.
Yeah,
like,
wait,
no.
Wait a second.
So that was,
she was
really
playing,
awesome.
She,
what was that Monday part? What?
Cyrus Gold gets his face melted off.
Yeah, ouch.
Which means we're going to finally get the, like, decaying Solomon Grundy that I wanted. That was my only complaint about that
yeah,
character.
Is that he was just a guy.
He was just like Solomon Grundy. Like, he's just beating the crap out of people and not saying things. He's just kind of mindless.
Yeah.
But he just looked like a dude. He was just a bald guy.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get, like, that white-faced,
yeah.
like, pasty, crusty Solomon Grundy.
I hope that, because, I mean, technically he's died already. That's
right,
they,
right.
I hope that he, like, just full-on, like... dies and then comes back and
yeah.
then he turns into like a zombie. I think
well, it's not like they haven't dealt with deaths and comebacks on the
no.
show yet, so
right, exactly.
it's totally within the wheelhouse.
Which brings us to our next spoiler slash moment of glory.
Spoilers!
We got the reveal that, which I figured this anyway, but that Slade Wilson is still alive, Deathstroke.
Yeah.
And now he's got the white hair and the eye patch.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was so awesome.
It was really good.
That was so cool. And to find out that he was behind everything just kind of makes the whole season
and
work better together.
And that Brother Blood is actually, that's the where they got the serum to make Solomon Grundy from was from Wade Wilson.
Right.
I was afraid they were going to do some sort of Venom thing and try to tie in Batman more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's my biggest complaint that I've had with Arrow this season, is that they are relying heavily on Batman a little bit.
The Ra's al Ghul stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, just with Ra's al Ghul, though.
Before we get into the biggest moments of glory in this, I do want to say I'm so freaking glad I know what happened to Shadow. It was really annoying me that I didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
And
you
could see, like, I love whoever played Oliver Queen, I don't know his name.
Stephen Amell.
His freaking emotion when he realized that he chose Sarah.
Yeah.
That instant of,
oh,
I
go
just grab. Made a
decision.
It was
well,
written
but,
all
and,
over his face, and it. I was like, "Oh, that sucks so bad. I'm so sorry."
Yeah, and because I actually liked, I liked Shadow.
I really did too. And he, the guy who plays Ollie,
maybe
is
that's
just
what he meant by
amazing.
Someone wasn't going to make it. But I think we always knew that, right?
What do you mean?
Well, remember I saw you that Stephen Amell had been like tweeting like, "These are the things to look for in this episode." And he said somebody wouldn't make it, and I was...
I have a feeling that's probably more of a...
Yeah, that means a little bit more than the lieutenant guy that nobody knew who
nobody.
He was. But I just always assumed that she didn't make
it. Well, especially when they had them both down, like, obviously she's going to live because she's in the show.
Right.
It was just so sad, his face.
Yeah.
It was written all over
it
like,
rough.
I made a choice.
But my big moment of glory in this, and this is the thing I was waiting for.
It wasn't
Warner's big moment of glory. It was Warner's, I'm going to peeing my pants for 5 minutes toward the end of the show minutes.
When Barry's like, I need to get back home, I want to see the particle accelerator.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, no way. There's only like 5 minutes left in the episode. There's no way. So then he calls Felicity from home. And he's like, they're about to set off the particle accelerator. And he's like messing with chemicals on the shelf. I was like, oh, my goodness. There's no way they're going to do
it. And it was lightning
and
in the background.
And like breathing real hard.
He
like,
was.
And then,
clutching
then
his face.
The particle accelerator explodes and the power goes out. So he tries to open the ceiling with that chain. And you just, he's like stepping in that puddle of water. And he's like, what's going on here? And then the lightning strikes the chain and throws him into the chemicals. I flipped
and
out.
Then it cuts to, you know, young Frankenstein. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, but then, like, the red lightning
goes
up his face.
Yes!
Oh, that's awesome.
It's good stuff.
I cannot wait for that Flash show. As much as I love Arrow, the Flash having his own show will be, like, my favorite thing on TV.
And I can't remember this, and I'm sure we've talked about it. So, is the last episode of the season going to involve the Flash still?
Well,
it's going to involve, but it's not going to be
I don't know now,
because
it was like his, it was going to be like a soft pilot
That's
for the show.
Right.
But now they want to give Arrow its own finale.
Yeah.
And be able to give the Flash its own pilot, so they've separated that and they're doing a separate Flash pilot in the fall.
They should do a sweet 2-hour movie.
I was going to say, it's still, based on the interviews I've been reading, it still seems like the Arrow characters are going to be in the Flash pilot. It sounds like.
Right.
And then it also seems like Barry Allen is still probably in episode 20 of this, but I don't know if he'll have the costume or how they'll do that.
I don't know. We'll have this whole time between that and he may not have the costume, but, or he may just have like a...
Dude, but I'd be so excited if he does. Especially, like, Huntress would have been the same way, or even Black Canary. Like, as they brought those characters in, those characters had already been there previously, and then later you see them in their costume later in their season. So I would think that it'd be possible for us to be like, we know who Barry Allen is now, we have an idea of how he got his powers, they don't need to explain it all.
Well, and he was able to whip up that little mask pretty fast. So.
And we're not
so he's pretty good at costume
super
stuff.
Super important. Freaking Roy getting injected with that stuff.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true. And surviving, so now he's got super strength.
He's got the AIDS.
Which I think is going to be what makes him Arsenal
did you say
for
he
sure.
Has the AIDS?
No.
Yes.
Roll the clip.
But what was great about that is like.
Sorry.
Him getting injected with that stuff is kind of like a reference back to when he was Green Arrow's sidekick, like back in the 70s and 80s. He was. Roy Harper's like addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
And there's like this big, like, famous cover where Green Arrow and Green Lantern walk in and Roy's shooting up. And it's like one of those things where they just completely were like, screw you, Comics Code.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was huge. That's still talked about.
Yeah, it's like notorious for being one of the like biggest, just like, forget the Comics Code and like change the tone of comic books. And so it was cool that they kind of were able to reference that with him getting injected to get his powers, kind of like.
But actually, the best part about Arrow lately, and I don't know why you guys haven't touched upon this, is those little mini, that mini short series sponsored by Bose. Man, that is quality television.
I very rarely get to watch Arrow on time.
Yeah.
So I'm always DVRing it and then watching it like a couple hours later. So
and so you fast forward. Exactly,
Felicity, it must be on. And it's like, dang it, she's selling headphones.
All right, I'm in the elevator.
Yeah, it's just... it gets me every time.
Yeah, it's very... It's kind of like the scratch-off ad for In Between Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I hate that scratch-off ad.
Like, I don't know who that character is that's getting attacked by zombies.
Right.
We also were really, like, kind of, like, really scared for Laurel's dad.
Yeah.
We thought he was a goner. So like, oh, no!
Yeah. I really like... Quentin Lance a lot. Like,
He's awesome. I love him.
Well, that was one of the characters that really annoyed me in the first season.
Yeah,
I was just like,
but then he grew on me, and then in the second season, he's just been awesome.
Just because I hate how he talks.
Yeah, he has that kind of old-timey, like...
Well, he has, like, a Brooklyn accent.
Everyone in that show started out, like, talking. Every single person. Yeah. It's like...
They started talking... Comic bookie.
They didn't really give the actors enough time, I don't think, to like get a feel for what they wanted them to be. So the characters have all grown, every single one of them.
Yeah.
But like even when Sarah first showed back up, that girl, like for the first episode she was in, just like would never close her mouth.
Yeah.
And that really frustrated me. And I was like, why does she never? And then eventually she did and got better at it. And even Grant Gustin, who I love as Barry Allen. The first few minutes of his first episode, he ends all his sentences like a question.
Yeah.
Like that, and always raises his inflection at the end. And I was like, oh no, this is going to be so annoying. But then it corrected itself, and now he's like perfect for me.
Yeah.
But I think, I seriously think they just were like, here's your script. They learn their lines, and then they're like, and we're shooting. Yeah. And then they're like, I don't even know how I want to play this character yet.
Give me a second.
But everyone has gotten better. And I think that's why. I think they kind of rushed them through.
I'm annoyed with Laurel. She needs to either die or get something else to do.
Her story doesn't really seem like it's going anywhere.
Yeah, her story is not enjoyable, actually. Just her character right now is a very annoying person. Like, that I cannot get behind, no matter how much she feels like she's right.
And that's why I'm glad that... Well, I'm glad they didn't kill Quentin in the first place. But, like, if he died also, she would have nothing. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would just wipe the
Laurel
family.
They would have put Sarah
back
to her.
Yeah.
Which Sarah's got to come back anyway. They're clearly building to some sort of TV Justice League, right?
Probably.
I mean,
that'd be
we have Green Arrow, we have Black Canary, and now we have The Flash.
Is Black Canary getting her own show?
No, but...
They've established the character.
She's in the continuity. Could totally... Man, what if they just did like a 2-hour TV movie that was Justice League? That would be awesome.
Yeah. No, I'd be all for that, for sure. But I think our Flash talk has been... I think it's about time to wrap up. And we'll get on to... Do we have news? I don't even remember.
I wrote news, but then we didn't really have anything.
Yeah.
It's almost Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of just wanted to get with the Christmas stuff.
Yeah. But our getting to know you, we're going to give you some...
getting to know
some Christmas myths. Are fun, and we'll just talk about our favorite Christmas myths. So, some of the things I was thinking of, just like when I was coming up with this idea, is like any of the things, like the mythos that, like the Tim Allen Santa Claus created, that like Santa Claus is actually just a title, not one single person.
I do like that idea.
I think that's like a really clever concept, and like the stuff in. Year Without Santa Claus with Heat Miser and Freeze Miser. I really
that
like that.
That's my favorite
stuff.
One.
It's not Freeze Miser, it's Heat Miser and Snow Miser.
Snow Miser.
Yeah.
I really love those characters. I think that's a cool concept that, like, the Southern Hemisphere, Heat Miser keeps it warm, and then Snow Miser
only
keeps
Florida.
keeps it cold. Really? And that's where we get, like, the climate differences.
I just watched that, so I wouldn't be able to pull this, but, like, the town that is in question in Year Without a Santa Claus is called South Town, USA.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But isn't that also the one with, like, Burgermeister, Meisterburger?
That is Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that one.
I don't like it because he goes, if you sit on my lap today, he's like, a kiss is... what is the price you'll pay? So every kid has to sit on his lap
and kiss him. Santa's really creepy now. Santa's just a jerk in Year Without a Santa Claus, though. He's like, screw Christmas. I got a cold. I really don't even think the kids have been that good anymore. I'm not doing this.
Well, the whole concept of Santa Claus, if you break it down, is a little wonky. Like, the guy commits B&E, and parents just allow him into the house. He's clearly drunk because he's got rosy red cheeks. Like... he's very merry.
He puts
crap in your old socks.
But, you know, this is where I guess I can just talk about mine now, because it's a perfect point. My favorite Christmas mythos is, like, it's big, like, in old-timey Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Krampus.
Krampus.
And basically, their concept of Santa Claus is that Santa Claus works in sort of a team with this monster called the Krampus, who's like a demon. And the Santa Claus, if you're good, brings you presents out of the sack.
And the burger sack.
Once it's empty, he gives the sack to the Krampus, who goes around and kidnaps all the bad kids and gets into his, like, torture cave. That's awesome. Like, leave it to Germany to come up with. And then we kidnap all your children.
We'll take something very joyous and happy all over the land and ruin it.
But it's such a dark concept. But I love the idea of, like, thinking... because, like, there are children that believe in Santa Claus. And I love the idea that they're, like, at some time... and I don't know exactly when this myth was, like, a thing that they really played with... but at some time, there were children in Germany who legitimately were, like, going to sleep on Christmas Eve.
Like,
not excited for Christmas, but terrified that the Krampus was going to just come kid. Like, I've been just a terrible kid this year, and I know for a fact the Krampus is just going to kidnap me, throw me in that bag.
So I guess my question to you is, because you obviously have a son... are you going to teach him the Krampus?
No.
Yes.
No,
yes. I vote yes.
As much
if
as
you don't
I
teach
love,
it to your children, I'm teaching it to mine.
As much as I love it, as much as I love the idea, I don't...
there's no point in scaring him for no reason.
Well, and how do you follow through with that? Like, it's...
Because by the time there are no parents...
Go ahead.
By the time he's old enough, coal's actually going to be, like, a great thing to get in your stocking.
Yeah.
Like, seriously? I'm going to feed all of you for a month.
Yeah.
Because coal's going to be a commodity, so there's no...
There's nothing... No parents ever follow through in America. I can't think of any parents that follow through with, if you're bad, Santa's not going to bring you any presents. Because parents always get their kids presents.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not going to take it back.
Right. How do you follow, if you're not going to follow through with something as simple as not buying your kids Christmas presents, you're not going to dress up as a demon and throw them in a bag.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not... I mean, nobody's going to do that.
I will. Like, I'm putting my name on it.
Put your name on it.
The one guy.
I mean, that's almost too far. Like,
that's mean.
I love the myth. I think it's a great concept, and I think I would love to see a claymation film like all the Christmas classics, but with the Krampus just kidnapping.
That'd be
I'm
great.
Sure they've got it in Germany, right?
Yeah, that sounds like an amazing show.
Yeah.
But... I don't think that's something I would actually...
Speaking of shows.
Tiffany, what's your favorite Santa Claus or Christmas-related mythos?
I really don't know. Well, the thing is, I just was always... I grew up on the original, like, Santa's gonna bring you presents and there's reindeer on your roof and things like that.
See, as a kid, I could never buy that because I always think so logical and it ruins things for me. And this is why... sometimes movies...
it does.
Well, this is why...
no, the comment that he says, I always think so
logical.
No,
listen. This is why sometimes I'm kind of a jerk when I go see movies. Because, like, I'm like, oh, that's too much. I can't buy that. Because, like, my brain works in a way that is sometimes frustrating even to me. But the reason I could never believe in Santa Claus as a kid is because I was always thinking of, like, okay, so, example, I was really big into Star Wars toys as a kid, and they were made by Kenner. And... Playmates made Ninja Turtles, and
they were the wrong size.
I think at the time, Mattel made all the DC stuff,
and I think actually, like, Toy Biz made Marvel, maybe. But my whole idea was, there's no way that when I ask Santa Claus for a Spider-Man figure, that he's going to be able to make that in his workshop, because Toy Biz would just sue the crap out of him. That's unbelievable. He can't make Ninja Turtles! Come on! That's ridiculous.
Come on!
Yeah, so in my head, I couldn't even get behind the whole Santa Claus thing. It wasn't the guy's been around forever, and he somehow is able to travel around the whole world in one night. It wasn't any of that. It was the lawsuit of it all. Just the legal ramifications.
I have this vision
of copyright infringement of toy making.
I have this vision of Warner in like third grade, and like all the kids are sitting around, and they're like, "Oh, what did you ask for Chris?" Or from Santa, and he's like, "I didn't ask anything from Santa because he's not real." Copyright infringement.
But you didn't finish. Okay,
sorry.
My favorite mythos though is from Elf, where the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear, and that, like, power to slay. I love that.
Yeah.
But I can't wait until Jude starts to comprehend things and we can do that Elf on the Shelf thing.
Elf on the Shelf
is that.
So Elf on the Shelf is pretty cool. It's basically a way to, like, make your children behave. You, like, every night you move this little plastic elf, and they're supposed to think that that's actually one of Santa's elves. Mm-hmm. And so, like parents pose them, like, with a like a cereal box open and out and a bowl of half-eaten cereal, like the elf was eating, and then people woke up, so he had to stop. And like the kid just finds them all over, and they're like, "Oh, this is awesome!" And
so this elf is like a Doctor Who angel,
basically. But you can't touch him because then his magic won't work. But what he does is he reports back to Santa all the things that you're doing.
So you put him randomly throughout the house,
and tells him cool things. Which, if you've seen my basement, it's full of awesome
toys,
like posed action figures. So I'm really excited about that idea.
Well, because I know that
I'm excited about messing with him. Like, I'm so excited.
You
about
can
that.
Get really creepy too. Like, have the door cracked open when he's like,
and the elf's just like peeking,
and the elf like the shadows coming in the room.
But Jude would love that. Jude loves things that are peeking. Like, if we do anything where the elf is like peeking over something, Jude would just laugh and be like, "This is the funniest. That elf is so silly, always peeking at me,
always staring at me."
Yeah.
I couldn't find one that I was truly, truly interested in, other than the Krampus. That I thought
Krampus
once,
is awesome.
Once you said that, I was like, "Well, that's kind
of
that's
a trumper."
That's a trumper.
Justin, do you have like a
mythos? No, but I did love in Rise of the Guardians when Santa had tattooed on his arms "Naughty and Nice."
Oh yeah,
I was like, okay, that's a really cool Santa. That's a Santa I could get behind.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
So, for those of us who did believe in Santa, what age did you guys, like, stop?
Fourth grade.
Officially, it was fourth grade,
It was fourth grade.
Is that, like, is that the
I think it is,
number?
Yeah.
I wore a red Christmas sweater to school that said, "I believe in Santa Claus," and everybody's like, "Oh, my gosh, you still believe in Santa?"
7 8
Blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
But I will go on record and say that I remember years before, like, officially telling my parents. Because that's actually when we moved from Illinois to here, so that's when they're like, "Yeah, Santa doesn't have our new address because he's not exactly real." That's not exactly how they told it to me, but...
But you got the gist.
Yeah, like, because that's when they figured out the magic... I specifically remember saying, "I don't believe in Santa, but I'm going to just tell my parents, that way I get gifts." Like, I remember that thought, so I don't know really when I lost the faith.
That's awesome.
My parents always let me, like, let us go Christmas shopping, though. So, like, what we got from Santa was, like, really tiny things. So it wasn't like he brought everything. We knew what we were getting for the most part.
My parents were actually usually pretty good in that, and maybe it was just me and my brother, we would just say everything that we wanted and then just completely forget about it afterwards, because every year we were surprised with what we got.
I love surprises. It's the best. I hate knowing what I'm getting.
I completely agree. Which actually takes us into our topic, which is the best gift that we ever got.
It has to be a Christmas gift.
It's
Christmas.
Come on,
it's really hard.
Well, then you go last.
Okay. I'll go first. I've been thinking about this all day.
I've actually got a couple that
since we talked about it earlier. I've been thinking about this all day.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with a couple of them too. When I was, like, I'll say, like, one of my favorite childhood things. When I was really, really, really big into X-Men, there was, like, an X-Men Christmas remember.
Really?
Or, like, X-Men Xmas, if you will, where I remember my parents I had to squeeze one in, guys. Come on. Nah. This is what I do.
Ex-menace.
But my parents, like, had bought us a bunch of X-Men action figures, and my mom got really good at it, because, like, when you're wrapping action figures, and this was part of the year that she started it, you can tell, like, the packaging of an action figure, it's clear, because they have the bubble on the front, but the card sticks up
right
in the back.
Right.
So when it's wrapped, you're like, well, I know it's an action figure.
Yeah, yeah.
But my mom got this cool idea where she would start, like putting them, like, front to front. So one bubble was on top of the other bubble,
yeah.
And so they'd be, like,
so
perfect rectangles.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know. So, like, I had just all these rectangle boxed Christmas presents. So I was like, I didn't get a single X-Men action figure. This is bogus.
Then you got
and
double.
And then, like, everything I opened was, like, two X-Men figures. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then, like, the big present that my brother and I got, we always got, like, a joint present that was,
yeah,
like, big.
Yeah, yeah.
And the big present my brother and I got that year was the Danger Room playset.
Ooh.
And I remember it was so awesome. And I don't even know why it was so awesome. I just remember.
Do you still have it?
No. No, that didn't last very... I mean, it was one of those things where, like, we, like, pieces fell off of it.
Oh, yeah.
It just didn't last very long. But it was, while it lasted, was one of my favorite, like, I just remember really loving it. And it, playsets, for me, and you can tell I have a bunch of them all over the place, but, like, playsets are something that I want to get for Jude, especially because, and I've been telling Tiffany this, for me as a kid, with playsets and vehicles, it didn't matter what age I was.
Yeah.
If I grew out of whatever went with them, the vehicle or playset would just grow with me to the next thing. So, like, you know, if I had, like, a Little Tykes pirate ship or whatever, then when I grew out of that and I was into, like, X-Men and Star Wars or whatever, I would just use that for my X-Men and my Star Wars and be like, they're on a boat for some reason. Like, that's the kind of stuff that...
On a boat.
Like, and so,
it
so
works
when we're
out
buying because... stuff for Jude, Tiffany's like, I don't know if he's going to be into Jake and the Pirates for very long. But I'm like... Who cares? Pirate ships are always awesome.
Right.
So,
and Batman will fight on a pirate ship.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, like...
he will punch
like
the Joker right in the face.
Justin got him the Imagine X Batcave for his birthday, and we're getting ready to get him the Arkham Asylum.
Which is actually kind of a safe prison. But...
Yeah. Well, we're excited to get him that because, like, for right now, he's going to love it because he loves opening things.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like,
loves
it's got, like, six prison cells on it.
Yeah,
like, and he's just going to be opening and closing all
it
the
time. It is nothing but a cabinet with cabinets with Batman
yeah.
logos on
yeah.
it. Like, it is
but
perfect.
But when he's older, even if, oh, Lord forbid, even if he gets out of comic book stuff and is just in...
Don't you speak in blasphemy.
But, like, say he's in, like G.I. Joe's or whatever he's into, or it's those, that size
Never.
Of prison toy will be perfect for that stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, this is the prison you use.
Yeah.
And, like, that's stuff that you never grow out of, and that's why I always really loved, those were, like, my favorite types of presents.
Yeah.
But then my favorite, like, adult Christmas gift was, when Tiffany and
AdamandEve.com?
No, not like that
oh,
kind of adult. Like that kind of adult gift. When Tiffany and I first got married,
right.
I had collected just like a few Fantastic Four issues here and there and had started reading it like in high school and had all of them from a certain point, but I was like going back and I'd go to Half-Price Books and get like things that looked cool as far as issues. But the moment that made me decide to collect all of Fantastic Four is Tiffany's dad at our wedding gave me every Fantastic Four issue he had.
Whoa.
And so that, like, really got
you
me started.
See the picture of him opening
that was a
it.
Big,
was
that was a big
oh, wow.
chunk of, like, my Fantastic Four collection came from that.
How far back did it go?
200, probably.
Well, there's some stuff in the hundreds, maybe. Like, okay. Or, yeah, like, late hundreds.
But not, like, one or
no,
anything
no, no.
like that.
But,
still,
but it was awesome because it was like, that was like, okay, now collecting all of Fantastic Four seems feasible because
yeah.
I had a good chunk of
yeah.
it. Well, then the first Christmas Tiffany and I were married, what she got me for Christmas was just like a big box. And I was like, I don't really know.
Was it a long
box? I was like, I don't really know what this is. And when I opened it up, it was like a bunch of Fantastic Four issues that her dad hadn't given me. And it was like, it was cool for so many reasons because it filled in even more gaps.
Yeah.
It was, that was the moment where I'm like, okay, definitely going to collect all of Fantastic
yeah.
Four now.
Cause or at least
so
have family members
like,
do it for
me. You can
have
these,
yeah.
but you can't have my special ones.
What? No, you went and like bought some at Half Price Books or something.
Oh, I don't remember doing that at all.
I don't know how you don't remember. If you had bought some from like,
To be honest, it was 9 years ago.
I remember because you had bought some from Rob's store too. This was before it was Comic Book University, but like you and him had, like, plotted together to get...
I kind of vaguely remember it, but I'm just saying, like, it was 9 years ago. Don't judge me too much.
But it's just, like, one of my favorite...
You did good then.
I think it's funny that's one of my favorite Christmas presents.
The last good Christmas present
I did. It's one of my favorite Christmas presents I can remember, and you don't remember doing it. But it was not only...
Because you've gotten really awesome ones since then, jerk.
But it was not even so cool because of, like, it was more Fantastic Four issues or because of, like, it helped me start my collection... But it reminded me of, because it was just a big box full of Fantastic Four comics, it reminded me of when we got married and her dad gave me that big box of Fantastic Four comics. So it was, like, really sentimental, too.
Just really tying it all together.
Yeah.
Adorable.
All right, so go ahead, Alec. What's your favorite Christmas present?
So, like I said, I'll do a couple. The first one that I remember, there was many years of where we were just, me and my brother were, so far into Pokemon that it was ridiculous. Like, I mean, that's we woke up and it was Pokemon until we were just.
I remember a Christmas where I had a stocking full of Pokemon trading cards.
Well, one Christmas we got, both of us got Game Boy Colors. He got Pokemon Blue and I got Pokemon Yellow. And what I remember was I had the yellow Game Boy Color and Pokemon Yellow. And so I was like, oh, I'm the coolest, whatever. And then on top of that, we got, like, a replica of the Pokedex, and you could, like, point it at things, and it would just say random Pokemon or something like that. And then just a ton of cards. I mean, just tons of cards. And that was where I got some of my more important cards that I remember, and I still have today. So that was huge. And then... The other one when I was a kid, and I'm trying to think of an adult one, because I kind of like that idea, doing a kid and an adult one, but when the first Xbox came out, the very, very first one, that was a suitcase, which I don't know, did anybody else have an Xbox?
I still have one, so.
Do you? Okay. My mom apparently, and it was the year that they came out, my mom waited in line for like 4.5 hours at Sears or something like that to get it. And it comes with a story because at that time my mom was dating this guy, who she later married. But she was dating him then, and he lived all the way on the west side. And me and my brother like to go through our presents if they're there, of course, because we're kids. So she would just take the presents, take them over to his house, and just hide them there. So obviously we couldn't drive, so we couldn't go over there, right? Well, probably 3 days before Christmas. His house got broken into, and everything was stolen. Everything. Except for the Xbox, a controller, and another game. Because they were all together. And so, we had, like, clothes and stuff like that. Just a ton of other stuff, and it was completely stolen. And so, it broke our hearts because she told us, you know, because she had almost completely forgotten about it, that we weren't going to have a Christmas that year because everything was stolen. So, we, visited my dad one weekend, and we came home, and it was like, I think it was Christmas Eve, and she was like, well, we did actually find one present, and then she gave it to us, and it was just in this big box, and I've never cried during a Christmas present before, but that was the closest thing I came to it, because we wanted that so bad.
And it was the one thing that wasn't stolen.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mine's a little lamer. But I do know my mother and my father stood in line and fought other mothers and fathers at Toys R Us for the complete set of the Fliphead Power Rangers.
Oh
my
God.
Opening those rocked my world.
You still have them?
No. They got lost in the move. Bunny ears included. Yeah. All my favorite toys got lost in the move.
You know what I hated about those figures, though? And it was just the Jason one, because I really love the Green Ranger. But you couldn't morph him with his taco shell shield on because it would just, like, fly off. And
which
now,
is how,
like,
his golden taco shell.
To find those online.
I know.
Holy.
Exactly. That was what I was getting ready to say.
Because so many couch seat cushions ate those.
Right, because Jason David Frank was going to be at C2E2 last year, and I was like, well, I'm not really into Power Rangers now as a grown man, but... That was a big, important part of my childhood.
Heck yeah.
And I was like, I'd love to get, like, a Green Ranger or something for him to sign. And
good luck.
It was so hard because eBay, they're so ridiculous. Because that was the one I wanted. I didn't want any other one. I was like, I want the Flip Head one because that was the one I remember as a kid just being my favorite Power
Rangers. Did you guys ever have like the like 12-inch ones?
My cousin did.
Yeah, my cousin.
We had the red and the yellow.
Pretty much my parents said, we stood in line for those. You play with those.
Yeah. But I liked that scale anyway. That was what all my X-Men stuff was. Right. Like that 6-inch scale was always my favorite. So,
did you have a Power Ranger X-Men crossover?
I didn't. But I always loved the Green Ranger. And so I was like, I just want to get that Flip-Head one. And this was last year.
Greatest story arc, too.
I got on eBay and I was just like, nope, don't want it. Because to get that in the package is so ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
Because people want that shield so much because it just always flew off and got lost.
Yeah. Well, my biggest problem was always whenever they went to like their human, well, I guess their non-cloaked form or whatever. Yeah. Like it would just be like their head was normal and like a little bit of their chest was normal.
Yeah.
Like, right. Yeah. Then you'd flip it in and be bad. It just always bothered me. But Tiffany, do you have one?
I do, and I feel bad because most all of them were from my childhood. And I'm sorry.
That's fine. I feel like I've tried pretty hard, but that's okay.
You have.
No.
I can think of my favorite Christmas gift that I've gotten you, but that's okay.
Okay, you can tell that.
No, it's not.
If we're talking like early kid, I remember on Christmas morning, we lived in this tiny, tiny, tiny house. I mean, like literally, my parents' bedroom was the size of this area right here, so really small. And in my parents' bedroom, there was this large thing covered with the sheet. And I barely had gotten anything for Christmas, so I was super bummed. And they're like, Tiffany, come in here! So I waddle in there. And they're like, well, take the sheet off. And I take it off, and it's one of those huge Jeeps that you can drive around.
Nice.
The power wheels.
But I didn't want to drive it. I wanted my sister to drive me around.
Just do a little bit of spit shine.
So, we finally were able to
take your shoes off where you get in the power wheels.
For some reason, it was like, it was one of those winters where, like, it was 60 degrees out on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So, we went outside, we were driving, my sister was driving me around, and she drives us right into a ravine.
Nice!
And I fall out, and I get hurt, and it's all kinds of crazy stuff. She's never allowed to drive it after that, it was mine.
Sure.
And my sister's 5 years older than me. Sure. I just tell her no, and drive it anymore. The other gift that really meant a lot to me, and this is just because I'm a girl, I've always known since I was little that my thing that I always wanted in life was to be a mom. Always wanted to be a mom. And I love the name Sonia. Love it. Always Sonya have.
Blade.
And my parents found me a little Cabbage Patch doll named Sonia. So when they got me this beautiful little Cabbage Patch baby, Cabbage Patch doll's heads smell like baby powder.
Right.
And they still do. I have it still.
Because they douse it with baby powder. Not to look behind the curtain there or anything.
I had this little baby doll named Sonia, and she was mine, and I took care of her, and I still have her, and I still have a couple of dolls that really meant a lot to me. But if we're going to be adult gifts that were my favorite, this was close enough to Christmas, so it kind of counts. My favorite thing was when Warner finally asked me to marry him.
Aww.
That was pretty close to Christmas.
It was, well, I told you, if you asked me any time after now, we weren't going to get married because you only gave me 6 months to plan a wedding. So.
Well, okay then.
And I was like, you better ask me now or I'm not marrying you. And then he asked me that night on his front porch.
So, do you guys have anything to close out with?
I want
to
know what you were so proud of.
Oh, I didn't really have one. I was I feel like I've got any good gifts, but I couldn't really think of anything.
Exactly.
I have a little something I'd like to say. If that's okay.
Sentimental.
Is this how we're closing us out?
Well, this is the finale, so if we go a little long.
Yeah, it's the finale of our first season.
Finale?
Not like finale. Like season two starts in January. It's not like we're really. It's not like we're going to be gone for 6 months or anything, guys. So.
Not even
I just want to say, when I tweeted it to you back in May to see if you wanted to do a podcast, I never thought that it would be what it is now. I mean, even our first episode was just me and you sitting on this couch.
For two and a half hours.
Oh my gosh, you guys were so loud.
Talking about do skip guards and Jabba's Palace have life insurance.
And I just want to thank...
I still listen to that episode.
I just want to thank you guys, and Chris isn't here, and I really wish he was, for making it what it is.
It's pretty awesome.
I don't get emotional, but I'm getting a little choked up, because I love this. And I always look forward to Thursdays coming in here. And I got all of you guys something. I'm going to be right back if you just want to vent for just a second.
Okay.
It's not. You,
I wish you wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Now I feel bad.
I'll take this time to do the plugs. If you're looking for good Christmas gifts and you're in the Indianapolis area, go to Comic Book University.
Woo!
Their place is huge and it's awesome.
It is the Greenwood really Place Shopping Center.
Yeah.
It's on Shelby Street. Just
get you some Five Guys.
Yeah, just north of the Five Guys there. It's a really awesome place. They have all kinds of things that are not just comic books. They've got games, toys.
They have a zombie face cake like pants.
They do.
They have a lot of really cool things.
A Jell-O mold or whatever.
Good place to get gifts. Also, check out all our reviews and stuff on Fanboy Factor.
We reviewed for a little while.
And
yeah.
And okay. You can check us out on Twitter and Facebook and all that.
Alex Beck with something mysterious
also
in his hand.
Also, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Oh, iTunes.
That's
now,
right.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
While we're on the break, you
big
can leaps.
You, a good jumping on point will be January when we start with episode 1 of season 2.
Yeah.
January 2nd.
So and with season 2. Yeah, and with season 2, I mean, we've got a lot of stuff planned. Going to have convention coverage. I mean, tons
there
more guests.
Tons
you
of
know.
Convention
more sounds.
More sounds. I have some format ideas that we're going to talk about on the break.
Less sounds.
Talk about all of our changes.
All right, so I got, it's not anything huge, but it's something sentimental. This one's for you guys.
Aww. That's awesome.
That one's for you.
Oh, that's
this
so
was,
cool.
And this is for Chris, but this was when Lloyd was here and he took that picture. And so I kind of...
That's awesome.
I love it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Awesome. No problem.
It's a picture.
It's a picture,
it's
for
a,
those
a
of us listening.
A picture that Lloyd took of us doing the podcast.
While podcasting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well,
yeah,
thanks, on that note,
yeah. I love you guys, and I look so forward to seeing what season 2 and onward has.
I'm excited.
So.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in for all of season 1. And make sure that you suck an eggnog flavored butt. Good night,
Merry
everybody.
Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Happy New Year!
Dance party!
Thank you.